This is a CKTZ news update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. Hollyhock is offering a new service out of their lodge and restaurant. I caught up with CEO Peter Winch to find out more.
So this summer, we launched a limited alcohol service at dinner. It was something that we have been working on for 3 years. It took a very long time. It was a decision we made in 2020-21 in the heat of the pandemic days. Alcohol service at Hollyhock has been something that the organization has talked about for many years. And in around that time, our campus team and our meals manager, Tequana, really made a push for it. And I'm really proud of the team to be able to actually be the ones who do it after 41 years. But I also understand that it's not without questions and some controversy. And so we've been doing the limited dinner service with alcohol, two beers, two wines, and some ciders since about July 20th.
Okay. Two beers, two wines, that's the menu or that's the limit or is that what limited means by limited alcohol?
When I say limited, what it means is that beer, wine, and cider is available within a very short window at our dinner service. So our window is, and some of this has changed as we've been doing it, but it's from 5 to 8 p.m. So our dinner service is from 6:30 to 7:30. Our dinner includes salad, main, and dessert. So people usually, you could say from about 6:15 to about 7:45. And during that time, guests and people coming in for dinner can walk up to our host bar and purchase. We have two beers on offer. We have two bottles of wine, a red and a white, and we have ciders.
Licensing for liquor licensing. I know that some of the laws changed during that time that you made that decision.
It's interesting. When we first looked at the license, I think our ideal license would honestly have just been to sell wine and beer in our store. And so that people could come in, buy a wine, buy a beer, and have that with dinner. But what we really quickly learned is that the government actually has suspended all those licenses until further notice. So I grew up in British Columbia. My view of this is that over the last probably 25 years, liquor licensing has become less and less restrictive. And I think that there's positives and negatives of that, for sure. In doing this liquor license, we thought a lot about the consequences of alcohol consumption in society. We're not in any way blind to that. Even in our blog post that we put out, we referenced new Canadian health guidelines around alcohol. I think what we... So yes, we have a food primary license. So it is focused on the food. That's why we're really, this is not a bar. This is not somewhere where people can come and just drink. This is related to our food service. And that's one of the things we're also thinking a lot about is that this is a beta test. So we're just going to see how it goes. We did a session with our staff before we implemented. We'll do a session later in the year with our staff to see how was the experience for them. A lot of our senior leaders have been quite involved in the service just to get a real sense of what's going on. And what we're seeing is what we expected. This is not a place that like people come to have multiple drinks. This is a glass of wine with dinner. In a program here, I've met three or four friends. We're going to have a bottle. We're going to have four glasses on the table. We'll have a bottle. That's really what we're seeing. We're seeing a very limited, responsible consumption of alcohol. One of the other things that we were really aware of is that Hollyhock has been a place where people have enjoyed alcohol for a long time. And what has been a little challenging about that for folks is there's folks who know where to get alcohol. And so they have alcohol, but then there's a lot of folks who maybe are here for their first time and they're like, where's the wine for sale? And we'd have to say, those people actually just got it from somewhere. And I think that what we're trying to do is create a bit more fairness isn't quite the right word, but just a level playing field for folks so that we don't have to say, oh, those folks actually know someone and that's how they got it. Our food service far outweighs our liquor. And just to give you a sense, so on any given day, we might have 100 people here for dinner. I was down there twice last week serving alcohol, and I would say maybe 10 people bought a glass of wine. And I'll say that like at the beginning, we did talk about, should we put limits in? Should we put two drink maximum and things like that? And I think that It'll be really interesting to see where that all landed through this beta test period. I don't think we're like currently doing that. One other thing I wanted to say that I think is actually pretty cool about it is when we're looking for the beer and wine, we partnered with Townsite in Powell River because the Townsite has just partnered with the Cohoos on a lager. So Townsite in Powell River partnered with the Cohoos and made Toba Inlet Lager. And so the can is very beautiful. It has the Cohoos logo and beautiful pictures of water. And so that's the beer we serve here, which I'm super happy about. It's just like another level of partnership that we have with the Cohoos. Picked with a focus on local, organic, as best we can. But really, one of the things we've been doing with our food service over the last few years, started by Tequana, but carried on by Maris, who's our current kitchen meals manager, is really working with local suppliers. So our wine is from Courtney. Our beer is from Powell River.
With the licensing comes some required infrastructure and probably some training. What kind of metrics of success are you looking at to make this endeavor worthwhile?
Yes, I would say that the parts that I've seen be the most controversial is a strong word, but some of the changes we had to make to our physical infrastructure, so basically a licensed area has to be contained. Thank you. Has to be contained. And we put a gate on our oceanside deck on the north side, which is new for folks, especially for folks who've been coming here for many years. So it reduces flow. So we've heard some feedback about that. And then we also had to put fencing around our event tent and the lawn. That is it's a temporary solution. It was part of what we did in order to have the inspection. It is not what is going to be there long term. And we're actually just in the process of figuring that out. But yes, this sort of the containment of the space, I would say, is one of the hardest parts of it for us, because as a 41-year-old organization, there's a lot of flow that happens through here, flow from the beach to the hot tubs to the lodge, and some of that has been cut off by the containment. So all of our staff had to get serving it right. Many of them had it because we have done special events licensing for alcohol here. I also got serving it right, which I had, but it had expired. And then I think we are really trying to figure out how to empower staff if they feel like there is overconsumption in any way. And like I said, our senior team has been watching it and we haven't seen that, but we want to make sure that people feel really empowered to deal with that. So one of the changes we've made this season, which is a bit of a temporary solution, is we put a night manager on every night so that if there was any sort of concern that someone could have a manager to rely on.
So is there more staffing required now with this licensing? Is that what you're saying?
That is actually something we're trying to figure out. In 2020 and 2021, we were unable to run a buffet. That was an order by the provincial government. So we switched to plated service. It's now 2023. I think our food, what I keep hearing from guests is that our food has really gone up a few notches. The presentation is beautiful and we're running a plated service. And I think that one of the questions we have is, so we're running plated service, which puts more pressure on our hosts to serve, like to bring meals to tables. And do we need more staff in order to have an alcohol service? Do we return to buffet? There's reasons for it and there's reasons against it. But that's what we're trying to sort out for next year. I think the short answer to your question is yes, there is increased staffing requirements in order to have an alcohol service. And we're trying to figure out how we make that work for our budgets.
Are you fully staffed this summer?
No, we remain somewhat short-staffed. I think it's always been hard to staff Hollyhock. It's like any seasonal business in a remote location. Staffing Hollyhock has always been a delicate art. I think we really saw that in 2021, like when there were staff shortages across all of North America in hospitality. 2022 was better. And I would say that 2023 is okay.
The name of the business is Hollyhock Farms.
Hollyhock Farm is one of our entities. The original name of the organization was Hollyhock Farm, but about 15 years ago, a few new entities came into existence. And so what we often say is the name of the business is Hollyhock. This land out here that is our garden has been in food production for at least 50 years, if not 70. So previous to Hollyhock being here, for 10 years, Cold Mountain ran a small garden, which they built off it being a farmhouse. I've looked into the history of this land, and basically the way that the government of British Columbia colonized these lands is they gave them to settlers who would agree to farm them. And so this land was sold or granted to a man named John McKinnon in 1896. It was at that time 160 acres, and it was for $160. In 2018, we went through and we got the original documents of all the title changes over the years. And that was the first. And so on some level, this land has been farmed.
So what percentage of food on the plates in the restaurant is from the Hollyhock Garden?
That's a really great question. I don't know the percentage exactly. I think I can ask Amaris, but yeah, and I don't even want to hazard a guess.
The
salad for sure.
So yeah. Are there any other services or upcoming improvements that you want to update us on?
I've been in this role for 6 years, and one of the things I'm aware of is like, how much change do you make per year, per quarter, per decade? And I think that in terms of meal service, this change is a big one. We still need to really figure out how it's going to operate in a successful way next year. I think we will have revenue targets, but they're modest on alcohol. They'll just be part of our meals department. And then I think really the only update other than that is that we are going to figure out what the contained space will look like. And I think you and I talked about the Hollyhock Revitalization Grant that we got from the federal government. And so part of that grant is to expand our deck. And that will also help with the containment of a licensed area. We're really looking at how do we continue to iterate on the meal service, make it more successful. One of the things we've been talking about a lot this year is what is the ratio between program guests and what we call walk-in guests? And we basically talk about an 80-20 rule. So I think that with the Float House closing, we're really aware that we can offer food to tourists and to other people on island. But our core operation, our core reason for being our charitable purposes is an educational retreat center. And so we're never going to shift too much out of that 80-20 ratio. And that's really important to us. What is our core offering is programs. And so what we're really talking about, what underpins this whole conversation is, how do we find that right balance? How do we offer food to people visiting the island and people who live here while at the same time holding our core business central?
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada, and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.